What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Inside Out Empowerment. Today I am here with Emily Gaetan. Say hello.
Hello.
Ryan Heinz.
Hola.
We've been here once before with Ryan and Emily. If you guys follow me at RevLabsPrez on Instagram, I'm sure you've caught both of them in my story. They are here. They're two RevLabs ambassadors on a workcation. They were spent 3 months in New York. And then when they were in flux and not really sure where they wanted to land permanently, I'm like, come the fuck out here. We'll get a lot of work done on some of the projects together, record some content, connect, and then we can set you up wherever you're going. So I believe they are going back to their original home base in Florida. What is the name of the town? Bradenton?
Bradenton.
Bradenton. No, you're from Tampa. That's Liz Corvino, ladies and gentlemen. Say hi, babe.
Hello. I thought you were from Tampa, too.
I'm from Tampa, but we're going to settle in Bradenton, which is where Ryan's from.
Got it. Like, I thought we were the same people.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of weird similarities. We were joking around that when IGTV first came out, we should just swing for the fences and cap out the time limit at 10% with Emily and Liz just making out hardcore, start the video super normal, and just go right into like a 10-minute hardcore makeout sesh. I think that would be like the first viral.
In the middle of a Walmart store.
Yeah, somewhere fucking obscure would be awesome.
Like Yodel Boy.
Would it matter though? Is there even an algorithm to that?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been swarming all over the IGTV blogs and reading updates, but it seems like they're keeping their cards close to the vest, which honestly makes sense because I think right now they're just collecting data. And then once they see a little bit more user activity, they'll roll out what the next few waves of updates are. Ryan, you did an original one when you were, your first IGTV is how to set one up, right?
Yeah, that was my first IGTV. It was actually less than 24 hours after they launched the new platform feature on the platform.
I cruised into the work office and I'm like, Instagram just launched their IGTV feature where they can like park on the property. And you literally like turned it around and it was like on your phone and you were already like tinkering. I'm like, my boy. Ryan helps me a lot behind the scenes with some of the RevLab stuff that we do, websites. He's one of our social influencers as well. But contrary to his like athletic background or ravishingly handsome looks, and he has put a lot of emphasis on that and has been shifting to a little bit more depth of his content on Instagram as of the last like 2 months-ish. He's actually very technically adept. How many certificates do you have? How many like?
I think 18.
18.
18 or 19.
What are some of the programs that you...
His LinkedIn puts us to shame.
Yeah, his LinkedIn fucking smokes mine. I'm on the platforms I'm on, and on the other ones, I neglect the shit out of it.
Recruit.
Yeah, exactly. What are some of the software programs you know how to work well?
I have Adobe Photoshop, Illustrator, Premiere Pro, InDesign, a couple of 3D modeling software programs, and a few web certificates.
You started in affiliate marketing and being like entrepreneurial at a super young age, which I think is not as rare now that like, you know, you have like 6-year-olds going, I want to grow up and be a YouTube star, right? Like that became popular. But even when you were a munchkin in like middle school, I think that was pretty ahead of the curve. You didn't hear anyone growing up saying they wanted to be like an influencer. Tell me about your first experience or experiences. Contrary to our sound test, we're not going to do your first sexual experience with a troll, as Emily said. Ryan and Emily are dating, for those of you that are hearing and knowing them for the first time. What got you into it and what the project was or projects that you were working on?
I originally started building platforms like just for fun. Like I would try to make like theme accounts on Twitter. So I'd make like either like parody accounts of like Daniel Tosh or like a Chucky like theme account where I just like gained a lot of followers by posting stuff that appealed to the audience that I was trying to reach with, which was anybody who was trying to find something that was entertaining.
So you'd have like interest pages or community pages around an interest?
Yeah, basically I just created
a star.
What'd you say?
Picked a star.
Yeah, picked something to focus on and then created a lot of content. On Twitter was my first platform I was on.
Yeah, your Twitter game is still strong as hell.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, his Twitter is probably his strongest platform.
He's verified on Twitter.
Ow, ow.
It's funny, I went to Ryan, I'm like, how does a person get verified on Twitter? And he's like, don't worry, I already submitted for you to get verified. I'm like, fucking, that's why I'm bringing you with me, doggy. That's why, is because you're a cut above the rest, and that's not a circumcision joke, I assure you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I started creating like theme accounts, so they weren't actually my personal properties. So I did a lot of stuff that people didn't really know. Like, if you knew me, you didn't know that I did that. So I slowly started to transition into like building my personal social media accounts. I already knew how to do it, so it was just like as if it was another theme page, but it was just for myself.
And that's a great segue, by the way. We're here today to discuss the do's and don'ts, tips and tricks, organization and purpose behind building your personal brand. So that's a really great segue. Ryan, tell me a little bit about not building a personal brand in general, but I guess tips and tricks Twitter specific, because I personally am not super strong on Twitter. I think I have it like auto posting from Instagram, which is a huge no-no because it, you know, gives you a link out, which hurts you algorithmically, I think, on Twitter. But also just as far as like normal human being engagement, not from a technical standpoint, you're looking at a link instead of scrolling through your feed that is very fleeting and quick and short attention span. And you see like, you know, text instead of like an image that you can like tap, retweet, comment on, whatever. So tell me some of your like do's and don'ts, seeing as you're out of the four of us by far the strongest on Twitter.
For Twitter, it's really just about trying to be polarized. Like, is that
polarizing?
Yeah. Polarizing, yeah, be polarizing, because there's so much happening on that platform.
It's like, an example.
It's very like chronological, so it's like very. You just have to be more active than other social platforms to get your message across to your audience. So it's just a matter of being. I guess I don't know. You can be like more like shorter on Twitter, because obviously it's not like you're going to tell someone like a whole story that you'd write in a blog post or something like that, but it's just more like you can just make little updates that people are just might stumble upon while they're going through their timeline throughout the day.
So give me an example of what you mean by polarizing.
Polarizing as in like there's so much happening on Twitter that you need to
shock and awe, or yeah, like have a firm
draw
stance or
attention
opinion
to you somehow. So
got it. Need to disrupt the flow.
And like you said, with the outbound links, like people, they'll just skim right past them because they don't see the actual content. They just see a link that is going to somewhere else, which probably isn't good for you. Like you said, algorithmically or for the user experience, like no one wants to go to another website when they come to Twitter. They want to stay on Twitter.
So that's a good do, I guess. Be polarizing and be active are two. I guess that's the same on any platform. For someone to stay engaged, you have to be giving them things to engage with, right? But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, ideal amount to post on Instagram, if you want like the most amount of like profile visits and views and engagement, is, you know, 1 to 2 times a day, which can be tough, especially with how dynamic it's gotten with video and how they favor long captions. Twitter, you can be like, sup, you know, in an emoji with a down pointing arrow, and like people will tell you what's up, right? It's not really the same on Instagram. How many times is ideal, do you think, to post on Twitter? Or if not daily, you know, how many times a week? Like, how frequently should you be hitting people with content pieces?
With Twitter, it's like at least like once or twice a day, maybe 3 times. It's more of like short spurts of content, which resonates very well with like your audience.
Yeah, and so for instance, specific behavior.
It's like an update platform. So like businesses use it to like update on like news that's happening or to learn about news in the industry. So it's like you're just providing news about yourself most of the time. So you're like, oh, I'm going to blah, 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 or like meet up at Times Square. Let me know if you're going or whatever. Like, yeah, it's just like updates for. So a lot of people follow you for updates. It's still chronological, which is nice because it's time specific.
It's the most like relevant time wise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's less like curated.
Not
posting a picture.
Instagram has gotten real like content relevancy, and I'm sure everybody and their mother has opinions on that. Personally, I think good content wins, period, no matter where you are. And if you're going to post once in a blue moon, make sure it's really great. If you're going to post very frequently and stay in people's face and you don't want them to get tired of you, make sure it's really great. What is the format of the content that you've seen that does the best on Twitter? So we were talking about repurposing content, and you can have one recording of like video and audio of a podcast or of a lecture or of a speech, and you can like, you know, chop that up and do like a 15-second video for your story. You can do a video post. You can do that on IGTV. You can make an infographic out of it, put words over a picture from it.
Like a and static post, or take it, transform it, turn it into YouTube.
Yeah, correct.
Where you audio can, on podcasting.
Where the, exactly right. The same piece, the same occurrence can be like chopped up and repurposed and be like, you know, on Twitter, it can be like a graphic, a graphical image of the quote overlaying a picture along with like the text quote in the caption below the picture.
Probably wouldn't do so hot on Instagram.
That wouldn't do as hot on Instagram for sure, because it needs to be more visually appealing. So what format of content have you seen does the best? I mean, I know pictures have gotten way heavier over the last like 3 years on Twitter as opposed to when I was growing the Twitter for Rev Labs. That's much stronger than my personal. It was like very much text oriented, and a huge do that I found on Twitter is like to reach out and get involved in conversations with other people. The more proactive you are jumping into other people's inquiries, conversations, like you want to be an influencer and you want to influence opinion, or you want to be a key opinion leader, as you and I have talked about, start by asking people or just looking at what people want help with. If you want to be the guy.
Such a Ryan.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I think
see
like.
I see him all over Twitter.
Like, I know. You're all over the place and jumping in, and you're like, dude, you want to be the best, you know, automotive repair specialist. I would go find relevant channels via hashtag and see what questions people are asking and start answering them in terms of like your skill set or your specialty. You know, platforms like Twitter or Reddit or bodybuilding.com, you know, forums, how they used to be anyway, lend themselves to like shining on your talents more than just your tits and abs, which, don't get me wrong, tits and abs are great. But Brian, I think you're the perfect, like, inaccurately representative dude where, like, if people read your captions, you have a lot to fucking say. If people know you as a guy, your skill set is like fucking staggering. I would venture to guess the majority of the people that follow you probably don't know about your technical skills, or they would if they read your captions, but because you're a looker, you know, they're leaning on the visual piece of it, which is fine. But I like the way you present yourself on Twitter a lot more because it lends to what I think are your true strengths, not just the fact like, oh, that's a good looking dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can have more conversations with people because like it's not like if someone goes to Instagram, they're not really there to read conversations. Maybe they are, I don't know. It's more, like you said, image heavy platform. Whereas on Twitter, there's always conversations happening. People are like calling people out. Like, it's just like where people go for their news a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So
you say news or nudes?
Both nudes and news.
Do people go to Twitter for nudes?
Oh yeah, because they allow that type of stuff on their platform. So I'm sure people do that.
Go Twitter. Note to self.
Free the nudes.
Do it for the nudes. Asterisk, everybody in the room pulls out their phone and starts looking at Twitter.
So when you're engaging with people on your last tweet, are you going back and forth where like in Instagram, if you ask someone a question, if they scroll down in their like last 5 minutes, they can't even see that you asked them anything. And it's like, okay, well, whatever, you know, is there more ways
to filter that.
Back and forth.
Yeah, like, so, like, if you're saying you want to track a conversation, like, let's say we're going back and forth over, like, a few hours.
Yeah.
There's, like, ways you can filter, by like, all notifications. Yeah.
By conversation.
Conversation, or, like, if someone tags you in something. I think there's, like, three different things.
I like that.
That like you can MySpace. Filter. Yeah.
Not quite, but sort of.
All right. Old school Facebook status MySpace. Updates.
Yeah.
AIM, BRB.
LOL. Emily, I'm going to switch topics real quick. So out of the four of us, I think the best with keeping your finger on the pulse and the heartbeat of like content consumption and seeing what other people are doing. Like your eyes and ears are very open on social. Ironically, I don't spend time consuming nearly as much as I spend time producing content, which is very different. When I was earlier in my career, I spent 90% of my time consuming, 10% producing, and then it's like it's has slowly swung. What are you excited about from the consumer standpoint, or what opportunities are you seeing start to kind of unravel from IGTV now being available to the average bear to be able to produce a property or an asset that somebody can stay parked on in Instagram that you weren't really seeing on IG prior to the IGTV feature occurring?
I just think that IGTV is a little bit like YouTube. It just shows more of somebody's personality more than just a story or 15 seconds. It's just something like that wasn't offered before that's new that I think people are going to love.
Have you gained any insight to any of the people that you followed previously that you didn't know something about and now you learned it about them?
Learned it.
I know you were going definitely. For that one, huh, Ryan? Learned it. Now I learned it.
Learned it.
That I do an impression of my Boston Terrier, Bailey, and I do her voice like that. I don't know if you've ever seen...
Bailey the alien?
Yeah, the Baileyan.
The Baileyan.
She's laying on Liz right now. What was the movie where with the little tree that's like, I am Groot?
It was the Avengers?
Avengers, yeah. Avengers Infinity War.
That movie was a trip out. Like,
oh, now I learned it.
Is Bailey's voice. But I digress. Where were we, Emily?
Equally as sick as the Avengers.
Talking about...
What you've learned so far.
Like insight that you've gained from people or like... someone seeming standoffish and then you like watch the story and they're actually not, or
definitely
like being smarter or dumber or whatever.
Like, people always like put a different side of themselves out, obviously their best side, on social media, and once you hear them speak, learn what their passions are, just things you don't know about them, and then you just connect way more with them.
Can you think of anyone that you've connected with that like the listeners can check out and see like being a good example? And I can come back to you so you can like look up on your phone if you need to.
Yeah, there's a model named Kira. I don't really know how to pronounce her last name. I think it's like Santoro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's her handle?
KYRASANTOROXX.
Got it. Okay. And what was your interaction like, or what did you learn or was different?
I just thought she was kind of like a, not a basic model, but, you know, your typical model, just, you know, not really...
antisocial?
Yeah. Not, I don't know, like not much going on upstairs, but she's actually like really cool, really nice. She's gone through a lot. She's just, you can tell, really kind-hearted, and I don't know, I just feel like I connected a lot more with her after like seeing her talk and... listening to what she had to say about modeling, especially like body positivity and things that I'm
Ryan
kind of
and Emily
interested
are
in.
Both models. You moved to New York to pursue modeling, right?
Yeah, they mainly for Ryan.
They can't hear you when you nod. I gotcha. I feel like fitness and modeling have blended, but they're still very, very different worlds. I feel like in fitness, there's a lot more, like there's obsession for sure with your figure and your physique and how you look, especially because you're sculpting it. But I feel like there's a lot more positive reinforcement amongst like the health element. Whereas I feel like modeling is only the aesthetic. And I feel like in my experience of working with models and agencies and booking different people for different gigs, there's a whole lot less of that positive reinforcement and more like put this on, take this off, do this, do that. And if you're not getting gigs, it's like, am I not hot enough? Am I not pretty enough? What can I do differently?
It definitely affects your self-esteem.
Have you posted to your IGTV yet?
Yes, I have. Probably like 4 days after it came out, just because it wasn't compatible with my iMovie where I edit my videos. And that was kind of a pain. But yeah, I finally did actually post.
So this is an open question. How do you guys intend to use IGTV, and or what do you guys want to see from people that are producing content from some of your favorite humans, or what have you seen that you like that the other parts or elements of Instagram don't lend themselves to as much?
Car rides. I seriously love them.
You love people recording their car rides, like talking in the car?
It's a two-way street, no pun intended. I enjoy recording. I like talking to my phone, no one judge me, while I'm driving, and just like updating people on my day and where I'm going. And I find it to be kind of cool to like get in the car and be able to talk for like longer than 15 seconds or if you're on Snapchat, like you get to hold it, but it's not like broken up, and that you can like make it a theme of like heading to Fulfillment Center or whatever you're doing, like heading to Ab Circuit plus Arms Day or whatever you're going and driving to do. I just feel like this platform's lending itself to a quasi YouTube / super ADD kind of culture that's not like so short, like the brevity isn't there, that it's like Snapchat shallow, IG story shallow, but rather insightful and lets your personality come out. And I just love car rides because I think they're super authentic from myself as a content curator and also everybody else that I follow. When they're just in the car and they're like, what's up? Good morning. Or like, they tell me about what they're doing that day. I get like amped and stoked. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get up and go get a Starbucks now. So I'm like,
good for those East Coasters that get up at like 6 a.m., 5 a.m. our time. You wake up and you're like, what are the East Coasters doing? And they're like up and at it. Makes you feel like you should be up and at it. They're
like already at their desk. It's like, oh.
As opposed to the normal Instagram feed when it pops up and you look at your latest update and it's from 3.5 days ago, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of like livelihood and I like the hustle and bustle about it. And so car rides. Yeah.
So here's a quick one for you. This is the first time that you can build assets that people can stay on for an extended period of time via Instagram. If you are an influencer and you don't want to get passed up, I highly recommend you figure out a way to impact somebody emotionally or intellectually, teach them something on a regular basis, or entertain them. And a really great way to impact somebody is by establishing rapport and having them connect with you. A great way to get them to connect, two-way street, you guys to connect with each other, is to authentically let them know what the fuck is going on. The cool part about IG that YouTube doesn't have is this is the first platform that lends itself to vertical recording, meaning it's literally built for your phone. If that's not like a vlogger's dream and you don't have a second in command or a third in command, or you need to like do your own stuff, pointing a camera at your face is like the easiest thing on the planet. You can go highly edited, and we don't really know how the algorithm works. So we don't know that it hurts you to have like words on the screen or in the image the way that it does. It works against you a little bit if too much of your image is text on the normal Instagram feed. You can play around with like the edited pieces and see what you like, or you can just go down and dirty with full-blown updates and have someone park and sit and watch on your property in a way that like you can update people on Snapchat, sure, but they only get glimpses of your experience unless you're doing, you know, post after post after post after post. It's really tough to follow you. Maybe throughout your day it's fine, but like to really get where your headspace is and to like connect with your tonality and the way you're thinking about things and to really develop a concept is more challenging. So if you have depth, before on Twitter we were talking about frequency, you know, that's volume. That's doing, instead of going wider or taller, right, more frequent with your posts, go deeper with them. This is the first time you have an opportunity on Instagram to go to a much, much deeper, more authentic, more enriching, educational, impactful, entertaining, problem-solving space. So really stop and ask yourself the question of what am I good at? What is the impact I'm trying to create? Quote-unquote motivating people, in my mind, is too obscure. Think about who you're talking to. Think about who you want your followers to be. Put that person, that image of them, that their headspace in your mind imaginarily, and speak to them when you're speaking to your phone. The more polarizing you are, the more you take a stand for anything, the more you throw up your flag. You know, I was giving the impression, if you're like, you know, walking down, for any of you that are in college or have been to college, and you know, you walk in your entrance at orientation and there's a strip of some kind that's like set up and it looks like something between like a trade show and like a fucking county fair. And there's like, you know, the business fraternity, there's like the Jewish fraternity, there's like the racquetball club. Why are you smirking?
Because I've heard this.
That's what I was saying. We were talking about this, where there, if somebody's going, hey, are you into chess? Come join the chess club. And they're waving, or, you know, and Pitch Perfect, they're like, hey, who sings, blah, blah, blah. You know, the singers go over there and see what the a cappella clubs are about, right? Yes, I just referenced Pitch Perfect. Don't tell anybody. If you are just doing generalized motivation stuff, people don't know whether or not they can connect with it. They don't know what you stand for, and therefore they don't know if they agree with you. And it's really easy to get lost in the noise. If you want people to follow you, say things that make your position on things, on topics, on life, on whatever, very clear and ungeneralized. You're going to get more haters, right? If you're like, I vote Republican, it might alienate the Democrats, but it definitely is going to create a connection with Republican Instagram followers. So that's kind of an extreme example, but you look at anybody that's like, that's truly crushing it. They're not trying to be everything to everybody. Ask yourself who you are, what you believe, what you stand for, what you're good at. And all of your posts should be reflecting that in some capacity. Everybody and their mother wants to build a fucking social following. Everybody wants to be an influencer or a personality or whatever. I say the first thing before how to build your following that you connect with is, why do you want to build a following? What are you trying to create? What do you want? What are you committed to having for yourself, for your life, for the planet, whatever the fuck? And then decide if building a following is the best way to execute that. Because if all you're trying to do is make money, there's a lot easier ways to make money than through building a social following. I assure you, if you put the same effort into any one of a million strategies, and maybe do a different podcast on that, you will make a lot more money than gaining a million followers and pitching a bunch of shit that everybody else is doing. They're just changing the shit that they're pitching, right? You know what? Actually, I'm kind of interested. I kind of want to go around the room. Ryan, do you want to be an influencer? Do you want a massive following?
Yeah.
Why?
There's a lot of reasons. There's not just one.
Nope, you only get one. Just kidding. What appeals to you about having a big following?
Mainly, I just want to make an impact. So, like, I've used it as an outlet for me to give people, like, a little insight about, like, what I know with some of the stuff that I've used along my journey so far. So, it's like, I'm just basically regurgitating things that I've heard from other people and presenting it to my audience with a little flair. So, like, for instance, I'll post a picture and just put a quote that I found on Google from Mother Teresa.
I love it. We always joke around and we say, in the words of, and then someone great, and then do a really stupid quote. So we'll be like, as Gandhi used to say, long hair don't care. Kevin, a guy that's staying with us right now, he's a Rev Labs guy, clears his throat excessively and it drives me kind of crazy. He's always going and I'm like, was that a Mother Teresa quote? So yeah, Brian's referencing that inside joke that I figured I'd share with you guys.
Nice,
so that,
comic relief.
Yeah, touche. So that's what you're doing, Ryan, but I'm asking more about like why you want to do it. So I heard creating impact.
Yeah, creating impact is probably the main reason, but also I want to build like rapport in my industry that I'm in, so like the fitness world and also the modeling industry. So it's just like a place where everyone who wants to know about me can go and take what they want and then apply it to their life or whatever they decide to do. And some people just stop by to look at my pictures and leave, or just will see one of my pictures on the timeline and just scroll through it and not read my caption, when I really want to transition into getting people to read the stuff that I'm writing, because I'm really taking a lot of time to generate that content.
And it's good stuff. I mean, you're a strong writer, and more than like being really good with like English words and your prose and your choice of diction, you're a guy that knows how to fucking do a lot. So I feel like people are shorting themselves by not taking the time to see what the fuck you have to say. You know, like you can enjoy the pictures, but like if you want to learn and you want to be impacted, get in the habit of like reading people's captions. And I remember I was telling you, and I'll speak to the audience when I'm saying this as well, the listeners, if you're worried that like what you're doing is working, so you don't want to change it, let me tell you something. I've had accounts that have 5,000 followers that I jump all the fuck over to represent Rev Labs. And I've had people with millions and millions of followers that I turn down. If you want to create impact and you want to create influence and you want to have the capacity to get people to do shit, change their mind, perform an action, whatever, you will not do it, period, by pandering to the crowd. You'll do it by taking a stand and rallying the people that agree with you. So figure out what the fuck you stand for and start talking about it. And if people unfollow you because you're not posting enough tits, good. Good fucking riddance. There's nothing wrong with them. You don't like wish ill upon them, but it's not doing anything for you to have amassed a following that doesn't give a fuck about what you have to say. Liz, I know that your purpose is pretty clear with regard to your intention behind your Instagram. What is your reason for wanting to have a big following?
I guess I never started with my mentality being like, I want to have a huge following.
I know. I was there when I started your Instagram.
It's like an ironic thing. So the day I started my Instagram account, you'd ask me like why I wanted to have one. And
all three of you, how often do I say, what do you want? What's the intention? What are we trying to create?
All the time.
Every day.
What are you trying to create?
How often do I ask? Like, what are we trying to create? What's the intention? What do you want? What does your have?
Yeah. Like, I thought that's what you're asking. Discussing.
Just generally speaking, like.
How often does he ask it? All the time.
Ryan?
Daily.
Yeah. How many times a day do you think?
Probably 4, 5, 6.
4, 5, 6. You always, always, always start with your finish line, guys. Like when I start hearing random updates about a topic or problems that need to be solved and I'm unclear about what the intention is besides for just generally improving it, I stop the fucking conversation, let alone the direction of my page. That's a lot slower than a conversation. I go, stop. What is the intention? What do you need? What are we trying to create? What do we want to have? What are we trying? What does the finish line look like so that I can get aligned or alter your vision so that you and I are aligned and we're co-creating? If you have a page and you don't know what the fuck your purpose is, stop posting and go fucking meditate under a waterfall or go consume some content or read some controversial shit and decide what the fuck you stand for, and then go start taking up time and space and energy that other people are going to spend by reading your shit. I know you've been clear on your intention, and I'm sorry to have interrupted you, Elizabeth. When you started, you said, I asked you originally, what is the intention of us doing this? This was like in 2012-ish that you started your Instagram? 2011?
No, I don't think 2011.
2012?
No.
13?
13 or 14.
Okay. How many followers do you have?
I was still in college back then. I don't know. 235K, I think.
No, I think you're like closer to 280. It shows how that's another thing. Don't fucking obsess over your follower count.
276K.
276.
My
yeah.
bad.
That's funny. Panicked on the spot.
Not really. I just don't actually.
You don't give a fuck?
No, I don't.
Everybody unfollow.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone go unfollow Liz. We don't care. She doesn't care about her followers.
No. Truth be told, I really don't care.
Do what you want. So, what is your intention of having a big following?
That's a very odd question, just based on what I just said.
No, I mean, we were fucking around. I mean,
I just legitimately, when I created my Instagram account, wanted to change one heart and one life a day. So I said, if I have the ability to use this platform, what can I do differently than what I'm doing every single day? Why do I want to go engage and be on this? Like, my Facebook's already
inundated.
Yeah, like, what is this about? So, fine, fair enough. I'm always open to opportunities and tend to lean on the side of, like, opportunistic, not tend. I am a huge opportunistic type of human. So, I figured what...
I think the word for that is opportunist.
Whatever, yeah. Sorry. Opportunist. So, I said, fine, for sure, I'm going to commit to this platform. I'm going to create an account, and I'm going to change at least one person's mind, heart, or life a day. So if that's just literally if they're on their couch, getting off their couch and going and doing something active, that was my ideal circumstance. If you were without a friend or needed a nudge in the right direction, I got you up and going and moving and taking action. I felt like that action was like fitness based, just because fitness is like a huge outlet for me to handle like emotion and makes me feel productive. So I kind of like attached it to fitness. When I say action, being super specific here, but I did have a very clear vision, so I'm just trying to like portray exactly what that was, and that was it. That was all I wanted to do, was just to change.
And how has that changed now? Do you still want to have a gargantuan following? Do you not want to have a huge following? Do you care? And if you do care and you do want a big following, how has that changed since when you started?
I cared just as much as I cared the day I made my account, which is to just change one life a day. If I can do what I do every single day and be able to take a picture or now a 15-second video or now a 10-minute video of what I'm doing, that is literally part of my routine, part of my day, like legit part of who I am. No mixing, no mastering, no required Ryan type site. I don't know anything about freaking like, I don't know.
Yeah, just raw. It's just raw and from the source. Yeah, it's not the tips and tricks. And I'll tell you,
raw content.
I'll tell you that it's authentic because Liz has gotten, I don't know, hundreds and if not thousands of like brand opportunities. And besides for Rev Labs that, you know, she's, you know, chief operating and chief financial officer of, hasn't taken any sponsorships from third party brands. I think you did a couple of posts with MVMT because you're a fan of their stuff and you tag stuff that you use and like, but I don't think you've ever taken a paid sponsorship, have you?
I have not. No, that's another thing. I definitely don't do social media for income, although everyday advertisers approach me and they're like, let's monetize what you have. So if they're not coming at me as a brand, they're coming at me as a way to monetize what I currently have.
Like what?
A following. Being a quote unquote influencer means that you are able to be like an opinion leader. Like if I'm endorsing this buy whatever coconut water that I'm holding in my hand and I'm like, this stuff tastes amazing. Oh my gosh, look at these macros. They're phenomenal. You would expect that I would get some conversions off of that in the event that I'm not also then talking about 15 other drinks afterwards. Like, it's like, okay, this...
Yeah, but who else approaches you besides brands? Because you said if it's not a brand...
It's like a third party, like an agency that's like, oh, we'll give you these offers. And
any company owners that are not just like necessarily a brand, but trying to like get something launched. So a tech, like a program, not a brand.
Got it. For driving like downloads or app awareness or something.
Yeah, so obviously like too much info. And to be completely honest, like if I'm going to get back to anybody on my social media, it's going to be the people that I wanted to engage with in the first place. So the last thing I have time for and really care about, and it's the lowest on the priority list, which is why it has yet to happen, is working with another brand. I mean, it's not part of like...
I get it 100%. Emily, popcorn you. Why do you want a big following?
I think just like what everybody else said, pretty much just to help people, provide value, give them information. I feel
Come on, nobody wants to make fucking money. Nobody wants to have a big following.
It's hard as shit to make money off Instagram, I would say. I mean, I don't think a lot of people make money off of Instagram. I think that's a lot of horse shit. And I think a lot of people want you to think they are, and a lot of people aren't. That's my opinion. I don't really know.
I'm a guy that pays a lot of people. And that gives out a lot of free product. And I can tell you, to make good money on Instagram has gotten harder and harder and harder and harder.
Yeah, it's like more paid per post instead of like, I have a sponsorship with X, Y, and Z, which makes it more difficult because it's like, I just got paid by a conflicting kind of advertisement. So you got to worry about like who you're getting in bed with, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think brands paying people to post is...
Brand awareness
is exactly right. I was going to say is more of like a branding thing, utilizing like just the raw exposure and amount of people that see your stuff. Because I think that the ROI on like the direct marketing piece is falling slowly but surely, especially as the Instagram platform massacres sponsored shit. That being said, I think there's still a lot. It depends what type of person you are. If you're a type of person that is just a content producer, especially if you're a person that jumps from brand to brand to brand, you're completely and entirely fucked if all you're trying to do is sell shit. If you're a person that has like a very intimate connection with their audience and you are promoting shit that you believe in and you have a good justification as to why the fuck you believe in it and why it works and what it does for you, your audience is compiled of human beings and they can feel that. I think that one of the reasons I want a big following is absolutely for the monetization piece. I have three reasons, but you know, the third out of the three is for sure that it empowers anything the fuck you're doing. And I don't care if you're running a 501c3 charity, right? Non-taxable entity. I don't care if you're trying to sell sandals, supplements, if you're trying to book vacation rentals, if you want your Airbnb to be rented out easier, whatever the fuck you're doing on the planet, whether you're speaking, whether it's like free or paid or whatever, anything that you are pushing power into, the larger your asset and the more hearts and minds and behaviors you are capable of influencing in the truest form, the more empowered whatever the fuck your project is going to be by having a lot of people that believe in you and in what you believe in. I think Instagram is a really great way to be able to cultivate that following piece by piece by piece over a long fucking period of time, which really is what it should be about instead of the tips and the tricks, which is why I say get clear on why the fuck you want a following in the first place. For me, why I want a following is because I think, you know, I'm forgetting who said it, but it was after the Holocaust that
Mother Teresa.
Yeah, it was Mother Teresa or Gandhi. That darkness only prevails and can only exist in the absence of light. You know, ignorance can only exist in the absence of education or the rejection of education and information. And negativity can only exist so long as it is more powerful than the force of positivity around it. Because here's the reality. If all of the people that have shit right are not saying anything, all of the people that are lamenting about the state of the fucking economy or which president got elected or people not getting them or how depressed they are. And if you're fucking feeling depressed, by all means, discuss it, post it. Fuck. I'm not saying to be inauthentic, but you don't have a responsibility to post it. If you have some shit figured out and you have a fucking desire to impact, get fucking boisterous.
I don't even think you need to have it figured out. Actually, that I want to stand up and disagree with you on that.
Not allowed. This is my show. Fuck off.
Sit down.
Sit down. Not allowed to stand up.
I love those that don't have it figured out because those are my friends. And I identify with like kindred spirit, like friendship types. And I actually like navigating along the journey with the people that I'm like, she doesn't know what she's doing either. Cool. I don't know what I'm doing either. Let's see how this goes for her. If she does something and she becomes successful with that, then I want to like go pursue something similar or that avenue. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I should start to do X, Y, and Z. Like when I do a video, I should chop it up and make it into like five other different.
Yeah. So imperfection is definitely something that should be celebrated. I don't oppose that concept at all. And when I say have it figured out, I don't mean they have life in general.
I'm like, geez, what kind of people are you looking at? Like,
well, no, there's definitely people
that IGTV is only for gods.
Yeah, exactly. Only post if you are an omniscient being. No, I'm saying if you have shit figured out, if you have a thing figured out, if you have value to contribute, you don't have to say, I have everything fucking tied up in a pretty little fucking bow, because that's not life. That's not human. That's not relatable, because it's not true. But Liz, let's be real. Your life might feel like a shit show sometimes, but do you have more or less figured out than you had 8 years ago?
That's a trick question.
It's a loaded question is what it
less.
Is. You have less figured out right now?
Yeah.
Are you purposefully just trying to be controversial? This isn't the fucking Jerry Springer show. Although if you and Emily want to make out, Ryan and I are down to
get
on your IGTV.
Not even. The more I know, the less I know. Sincerely, I felt like ignorance was bliss for me. Like 5 years ago, I felt great about what I quote unquote knew.
So that's your perception of how much you know. But you just said the more you know, the less you know, which implies that you know.
Okay, fine. I know more now.
You do know
experience
more now.
Experience is
fucking
more.
Jesus, thank you.
The more you experience, the more you put yourself out there, the more you try, the more you fail. Failure is opportunity for sure. Like I have failed more than I did when I was younger.
Yeah, because you're swinging harder.
I'm also 5 years older. Literally, that's 365 days times five.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
All right,
so
we should write that
down. Every single day
I
fail at least once.
Learned it.
Minimum. And I fail like guaranteed like 10 times a day.
Yeah. How much would your process be accelerated if you now had the ability during your pain points of you 5 years ago to hop in and be like, yo, you're wasting your time on this one. Or, hey, this is not something that's fixable. Or, why don't you approach this like this?
I would love that.
Right.
Yeah. I would love that. Yeah.
So there are people like you, like where you were on the issues that you have resolved or figured out or the mountains you've climbed.
How do you handle your crazy stepdad?
Touche.
No shout out needed.
Yeah. Let's not say his name. But there's people dealing with circumstances very similar to that.
Yeah.
And you've gotten a lot figured out. I mean, fucking Jesus Christ, Liz, you were filing files for LRS, Loss Recovery Services, as a senior in college in 2010. you're now running millions of dollars of real estate in a portfolio that you're liquidating basically by yourself and running all of the finances and operations for a massive fucking supplement company, as well as supporting Inside Out Empowerment and being a social influencer and all the other things that you do. I would say that the amount that you have accomplished and achieved, the connections, the life insight is gargantuan. And looking backwards on some of your sticking points, there are people that are stuck on those same things. So as you have figured those things out or are figuring things out, or fuck, even as you're failing, sharing that with people is what's going to create the impact, is what's going to educate, is what's going to entertain. And my point of good people having a responsibility to speak up is on those points that are painful, on those points that you have struggled with and succeeded on and therefore have something of value. Like, Ryan, on all the programs that you know how to operate, did you start that way? Of course you didn't. What did you fucking do? You like tinkered with it and you tried and you got it wrong and you tried it again and got it wrong and you watched a tutorial, you tried it, you messed with it and you got it right. That can speed up the process for a lot of people by sharing the things that you know how to do well. That's my point. And that's one of the reasons that I want a big following, is to have the ability to be heard on the pieces
that people want to hear about.
Correct. I'm not here again to tell anybody ever what to want. I'm here to help you get what you already know that you want. And by the way, not knowing what you want is fine. And if clarity is what you are aiming for, then I want to help you get clear on what you want. But it's not going to be by me telling it to you. You have a responsibility on the pieces that you do well and the pieces that you can share to share them, because there's the market's fucking vicious and people are ridiculously judgmental, especially of themselves. It is a light in the darkness or a piercing vein, a shot fired across the bow of positivity in the sea of fucking bullshit, I can't, you're not good enough notions that we have floating around in the world. So why do I want a fucking following? For one thing, out of sheer motherfucking responsibility to convey the value pieces, because there's so many people believing and hearing and seeing and being reinforced by what they're getting that they are not good enough. And it's just simply not fucking true. Not hardworking enough? Maybe. Not talented enough? Maybe. Not having refined skills or lacking direction? Abso-fucking-lutely. I think that's like 85% of the fucking population right there. But just raw, not good enough is complete fucking horse shit. There's ways to get good at anything you want to fucking do. This is a beautiful, amazing platform, if you are good at things, to be able to share it.
Yeah, there's never a better time to start. Like, when I first started taking strides into like different directions to like test what other content I wanted to create, I was always like, oh, I don't have the right camera, or like, oh, I don't feel like editing a long video, or like, I don't feel like going out of
excuses.
My comfort. Yeah, I don't feel like going out of my comfort zone, which is all
me
excuses.
Before starting the podcast, 100%, it was nothing but excuses.
So you'll never be. There's never a better time to start than now, because
I think it's Independence Day.
Yeah,
it is. It's 4th of July tomorrow. Yeah.
Today.
Is it past midnight?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Look at us. We just worked a full fucking work day. We're here at midnight recording for you beautiful fucks. Let's go around the room real quick. Share your Instagram handle and ways that followers can get in contact with you. MDoggy, you're up.
Okay. My main account on Instagram is I am Emily Gaitan.
Spell it.
IamEmilyGaitan.
Hopefully you're not driving.
No.
You have a website that you like to connect with people through?
Yeah, emilyalexis.com.
Right on. Ryan?
My username on all platforms is Ryan Heintz, RyanHintze. And website is also RyanHintze.com.
You're the man, nice and easy. Liz Vino?
Liz Vino on Instagram, LizVino. And just check me out on Rev Labs. It's my baby.
I love it. Guys, Joshua Nussbaum, Rev Labs Prez here, spelled with a Z. That's RevLabsPrez on Instagram. It's my favorite platform, and you will be seeing lots of tutorials and insight on my IGTV platforms. Key takeaways is aim to create impact or to educate or to entertain. Take a little bit of extra time and aim for depth with your IGTV stories. It's the first time your audience is going to be parking it in the same place for an extended period of time on the Instagram platform, which lends itself to some amazing opportunities. And to get very, very clear on what you want, and if a large following is what you want, I would get clear on why. Why do you want a big following? Is it to create an impact? Is it to monetize? If it is to create an impact, in what field? Is it general positivity? Is it communicating to people that they're good enough? Is it empowering people to go get what they want? Is it to educate them in fitness? Is it to be able to, you know, construct and source the best bunny slippers for affiliate marketers, building backlinks and landing pages around the world? Get clear on what it is. Get clear on what you stand for, what you believe, what you know, and what you're good at, and speak from that voice. If you know what you want, if you know why you want it, if you know what you stand for, what you believe in, and every part of your posts is communicating from that point of operation, a magic thing is going to happen. And the people that find value in that and find value in you are going to flock and support and strengthen. Another magical thing, and another reason that I want a big following, is because it fucking holds me accountable. Hands down, when I'm engaged with my following and producing consistent content, and I know that when Noah Nussbaum grows up is going to hear my version and my perspective of what the fuck was going on around me and how I felt when I was tired and what I was trying to accomplish, that I'm on the record, it makes me a better fucking person. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. But when it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon.